You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Head of FIFA Sepp Blatter's misfortunes this week as the man behind the world's most popular sport have made him the best-known Swiss person since Roger Federer. But John Stewart had much more fun talking about the arrests of soccer's bigwigs.
FIFA is so bad, they got arrested by the Swiss. A country whose official policy on Nazi gold was, and I quote, "We'll allow it."
As expected, though, Sepp Blatter has been reelected as president with a promise to stop the reputation damage caused by the move this week by the FBI to investigate soccer's world governing body. If you can suspend your disbelief for a moment, the question remains, how does an international sports organization go about reforming itself without changing its leadership in any meaningful way? Well, there is actually some historical precedent here. Joining us is Harvey Schiller, former executive director and secretary general of the United States Olympic Committee and former president of the International Baseball Federation. Harvey, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
So how did the U.S. get reform in the IOC, the International Olympic Committee? It's the same kind of giant transnational sports organization that had a lot of problems and with some U.S. leadership seems to have changed. What happened?
Well, following the scandals associated with the Salt Lake City selection, certain members of Congress formed a review committee, which had a number of people that represented different elements of the professional sports world, the broadcasting world, and the Olympic world. And as often happens here in the United States, people move quickly for change. I think the challenge that an international sports federation like FIFA and others have is that they are somewhat reluctant to change. So it'll be interesting to see what does take place, if anything.
Can you compare the leverage that the U.S. had in the IOC compared with the leverage it may or may not have with FIFA as you see it?
Well, I think that the leverage is very limited from the United States. I mean, the criminal charges, we'll see how they play out in the future against the individuals that have been arrested or charged. But in terms of FIFA, these things move very, very slowly.
And does the United States hold out a carrot to FIFA saying that you really actually do want into our market and we can make that happen and that's a great way for you to grow, so cooperate here? I mean, does that constitute leverage? Because people like Vladimir Putin are saying, stop meddling in our sport that you don't care about.
Well, Putin is going to say that, of course, because what he fears is that there will be a review of the award to Russia for the next World Cup. And he doesn't want that to happen, nor does Qatar. But I think that it may sound strange to all of us here in the United States, but when it comes to international sport, especially FIFA, the United States is not really held the same as we think of ourselves. And it's almost a throwaway in the way they view it. It's a bit unfortunate, but when you compare the populations of Asia and growing in Africa across the world, and you add up those numbers, we look like a small group compared to the big group.
And even the concentration of sponsors in the U.S. doesn't have much weight because the markets are all overseas. It's not a domestic market for Pepsi or Coca-Cola, for instance.
That's absolutely true. So whether it's Coca-Cola, Visa, Adidas, whoever they are, their markets are bigger around the world, and they're only really glowing globally in consumer goods around the world compared to what we do here in the United States.
The IOC was viewed during the time of reform that you were observing it as a cult of personality around one individual. Is that the case here with FIFA? And how does that complicate or maybe simplify a reform movement?
Well, I think it's beyond a single individual. You have to keep in mind that for the 209 nations that are represented, the majority of the people that provide the leadership on the local level are all their employment is through soccer, football. This is the way they earn their living. And the payoff has come in very subtle ways in the past. Beyond the bribery, when you add in the monies that are given for travel and per diem and appearances and others, you're talking about several hundred thousand dollars at least for each individual that may represent a particular country. So you talk about the smaller nations throughout Asia and Africa and Latin America. That's a big deal for them. And they're not going to give that up.
You're not a betting man, but in many ways, this is about the evolution of global sports and the breakdown of some divides that have existed for a long time. Which do you think will happen first? A World Cup will be pulled from a place that it was assigned to, say, Qatar, or Moscow gets an International Baseball Federation team?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anyone will pull. I think that the difference between FIFA and the other 40-some-odd winter and summer international federations is that FIFA has almost direct control over not only the local organization, but deep into their players as well. You may or may not know that soccer in the Olympic Games is the only one that doesn't have the best players present, because they do control at every element through their sanctions. Whereas here in the United States, we know that the professional leagues, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, et cetera, are really the power players. But that's not true when it comes to football, soccer. The power player is FIFA. They really are the supreme organization.
All right. Well, I'll leave it there, except I can't resist asking, what about Tokyo in the MLB?
Well, I think we all have our fingers crossed that Tokyo, that baseball will be part of it. The IOC now, with the new President Bach, has really been a friend of baseball, and hopefully it's important to the Japanese, and that's the one place where I think it can return, hopefully.
Harvey Schiller is former president of the International Baseball Federation and former executive director and secretary general of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Thanks, Harvey.
Thank you.
Some thoughts about the FIFA scandal from you. Robert in Santa Clara, California writes, are we expected to understand that the behavior described is any sort of news to the world sport community? Next, we'll be asked to feign shock when the IOC is similarly accused. Jane from California writes on our website, corruption must be stamped out. There is too much money in sports in this country already. Michael, with a little skepticism, what a joke. The Obama administration and the new attorney general are going after FIFA for a sport not popular in the U.S., and the hundreds of individuals in dozens of banks, rating companies, insurance companies, and investment firms that were responsible for bankrupting the U.S. economy are still walking around. Tough critics out there. Join the conversation. Make it louder. 877-8-MY-TAKE, and there's much more at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by Squarespace, providing users with tools to create websites for small business or their own personal brand. More information at squarespace.com/takeaway. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.